The following is a 1250 WTMA special presentation.
Hi, this is John Quincy with another edition of the History of TMA, our ongoing journey back to revisit the folks and the formats that have occupied the airways of this station. From our June 1939 sign-on as the city's second radio station, through our successful talk radio years that began 50 years later, we've examined the history of WTMA radio through interviews and on-air recordings. This hour, we're going to continue our replay of the very first Morning Buzz with Richard Todd from March 1st, 2004.
Welcome to the Morning Buzz, the first ever edition on this Monday, March the 1st. TMA News Time 906, I'm Richard Todd. Live on Comcast 28 and News Talk 1250 WTMA. I'm messing with the cameras right now because we have a special guest in the studio stopping by on day one of the Morning Buzz. It's my friend Mike Vec. Oh, hang on, Mike. Can we turn on Mike's microphone? There we go. And I call her. There we go. Hey, Mike.
This is nice. Hey, this is really something. You know, you can watch this stuff, and congratulations
Thank
on
you.
The buzz. This is really a nice. I'm honored to be here. I tell you what. I'm feeling pretty good. A lot of space. Nice.
This is a great facility. We're on Comcast 28 for 4 hours a day from 6 till 10. We're on WTMA talking about whatever is going on in the world, and people can give us a buzz, and you can give us a buzz right now and talk with Mike Vec, 556-1250, 1-800-737-1250, or star 1250 on your wireless phone. By the way, Mike, you were laughing at us. We're in construction hats. We have hard hats.
Yeah, under construction, baby. I thought it was the village people. I thought it was for my open, man. You know, I had my tool belt out in the car. I was fixing stuff yesterday around the house. So I was going to do my thing, but...
The dancing Indian and sailor will be in here later. The TV show's under construction. The radio show's under construction. And I was thinking, okay, day one, I'm going to be on the air talking about what's going on in the world of entertainment and the low country and the state and whatever. Who never has a lack of something to say? Mike Vec, I'll call Mike. Mike always has something to talk about. Hey, your buddy, your friend, your co-owner of the River.
He was robbed! He was robbed! What was that buzz? I'm telling you, I know you had guys crawling all over the place. I know you were checking it out via Sharon Stone and stuff like that. But I'm here to tell you. Now, he's a Chicago guy. He can take it. He's used to losing with
right.
Rushmore. He got hammered on Rushmore. But, you know, it just... He'll take it into good grace and his usual style. I was very torn on this one. Sean Penn gave a great performance.
Right.
There's no question. You can't take it away. Sean Penn, another bad boy in quotes.
Who would have thought, though, that the two men, one who played Spicoli in Fast Times at Ridgemont High and the other who played Carl Spangler, the greenskeeper for Caddyshack, were the two frontrunners for Best Picture of the Academy Award.
It's unbelievable. And what made it so exciting, I mean, I've watched two award shows in my entire life. I watched the Golden Globes. A couple of months ago, and I mm-hmm. watched this, and they're long, they are long, but I found it even more interesting when I read a review on AOL or in the paper the other day about they thinking that they would split the vote, and that Depp would walk away
mm-hmm.
with the thing. But when you think about it, I happen to see all of the. All three of those performances, it was really a tribute to be one of those five. I mean, it was just it was filmmaking at its best.
And it's hard to believe that Bill Murray had been nominated before. Like you said, he got robbed for Rushmore. Groundhog Day is another one where he probably deserved a nomination. He did win an Independent Spirit Award Saturday night, which will get him a free drink somewhere probably, you know. But
he made an effort. You know, they told him after Rushmore, look, you got to play the game. You have to do the interviews.
Right.
You have to do the
things.
He doesn't
like doing interviews.
No,
at all.
He doesn't.
No.
And so he gave it his very best. He was gracious. You know, he tried it. I think it's going to be more entertaining now for the next, until there's the next time to see what happens. Because he tried it their way. He did it his way. So now I guess he's going to have it and... I don't know. Maybe he won't do anything.
Well, our own Madeline Thomas was not a big fan of that movie.
It was a depressing movie about depressing people.
She didn't like Lost in Translation, Mike.
I think that's what made it such a wonderful movie, is I think there were lots of people who felt that way. Imagine all the people who were looking for Carl and right. went and said, "Hey, make me laugh," and all of a sudden you're sitting there. But it 10 years ago he said to me, "I am going to be an actor." And it, what he was saying was, I mean, I was in the middle of my horrendous backswing, and I looked at this guy from Chicago, and I said, "Wow, that's pretty heady stuff." And Bill Murray as a romantic lead in a movie is an amazing accomplishment. Now, he won't probably feel that way today because he is competitive, but that's a long way to come from a guy who could have kept playing Carl forever. He stretched himself, he challenged himself, and he made you depressed, which is something that I'm sure didn't happen in Caddyshack or in...
That's right,
but,
you're right.
I mean, you know, you look at the thing
and
you say...
I wanted the Bill Murray that I know and love.
That's exactly right. Those are the same people who go to the Bob Dylan concert and go, "That ain't blowing in the wind, that's some spiritual. Play it the way you did it for 40 years or I'm not coming."
Well, you know, like, but I remember, and I think one of Bill Murray's most underappreciated movies was one that he made a long time ago, right after he got big as a comic actor, The Razor's Edge. I love that movie. I love that movie. I thought he was great in that movie. Bombed at the box office because everybody wanted to see Carl Spangler. They all wanted to see Bill Murray that made me laugh. They didn't want to see the serious Bill Murray, but he's evolved to become an actor now who can pull off just about any role that he wants to.
I think what's going to happen is that he is going to be inundated with roles, running the gamut, you know, mm-hmm. from one end of...
Well, maybe he'll get a better story.
You mean the one that won Best Original Screenplay at the Academy Award last night?
Yeah, by a 31-year-old wunderkind.
But I have heard mixed reviews
on
Lost in Translation.
Yeah, someone who has connections, you know, like her dad.
You've obviously seen Lost in Translation, right?
Yeah, I saw the three.
Okay.
You know, I saw Depp's performance, which was absolutely, I thought, incredible. And Penn, I think they gave it to Penn because he's given two or three pretty good performances and been passed over.
You're a smart man, Mike. That's
what I think happened.
That's why we have Mike Vec in the studio. He's a smart man. The reason why Sean Penn won, it was a cumulative award. He didn't win for Dead Man Walking.
Sarandon won.
That's right. But
Robbins won.
But he didn't.
He didn't
win. And this was their chance. Same thing with Renee Zellweger, why she won last night. She didn't win for Bridget Jones' Diary. She didn't win for Chicago. They gave it to her for Cold Mountain. Cumulative awards. I mean, that's why Lord of the Rings won. It didn't win for the first two because cumulatively they wanted to honor it last night. But you, Mike. I mean, we're talking to Mike Vec, one of the owners of the Charleston River Dogs, a man who has been called a promo sapien by the Sports Illustrated. He is a marketing wizard, and I got to ask you, The Passion of the Christ, the Mel Gibson movie. I think it's one of the greatest marketing campaigns in the history of entertainment because they're getting all of these people on talk shows, on news shows, to talk about a movie. He released it to congregations and churches, screenings for thousands of people, so that the buzz and the word of mouth could filter through the Christian community to go and see this movie as an event. He screened it for Jewish leaders 6 or 8 months ago so that they could see it. And I think maybe even pulling a fast one from the standpoint, they create controversy by the portrayal that they say, an anti-Semitic betrayal. And I think people obviously are debating about that. But the cut that he shows Jewish leaders is not necessarily the one that makes it to the screen when it's released on Ash Wednesday just 5 days ago. I think it's a great marketing campaign. Am I just giving Mel Gibson too much credit, or as a marketing genius that you are, Mike Vec? I mean, do you see that also at work?
Well, I mean, I appreciate it on a serious level. You know, I just work hard at it, but I've been more lucky than good. But I think Mel Gibson, if nothing else, took a shot because he couldn't get distribution, because they weren't going to help with this, because the studios didn't get behind. And I think it's the strength, the power of one man's conviction. So I have not seen it.
I haven't either.
And I do know I have a lot of friends who are Jewish who said they went in believing that there might have been overtones of anti-Semitism mm-hmm. before they went in, and left with absolutely no feeling whatsoever and thought it was just a wonderful portrayal. I think anytime you get us doing exactly what we're doing and people feeling so up and down about it, yes, yay or nay, I think it works great. That's what art's supposed to do. It's supposed to make us crazy. It's supposed to define our civilization and deny the conventional wisdom. So here's this guy who's killing them. I mean, churches are ordering, I'll take 7,000 seats. I'll just take the next 11 performances. It's like a bowling alley in Reno, man. I mean, you know.
We're talking with Mike Vec here on the Morning Buzz. It's 9:15 on News Talk 1250 WTMA. You can join the conversation if you've got Mike a question for Mike or me, or you want to join the conversation, 556-1250, 1-800-737-1250, or star 1250 on your wireless phone. You've been known to have highs and lows in your career, Mike.
And I was the only one who did inhale. I can't believe that. I just don't understand it, man. Who were all those guys standing around with me back before we were saintly?
Yeah. Do you enjoy watching the Academy Awards, or is it just an overblown production? I mean, they didn't give out a single award in the first 30 minutes. Billy Crystal was funny as always, but it's, as Johnny Carson said, it's 2 hours entertainment in a 4-hour show, and it started in February and it ended in March. I love watching this stuff, but after a while, you just, you know, you want to get to the, you can tell early on that it was going to be a big, by the way, have you seen Lord of the Rings?
I haven't seen Lord of the Rings.
You haven't seen any other? Okay.
Because read it 14 times. I haven't seen it.
Oh,
I want to wait.
Read it.
Oh, God, I loved it.
Okay,
so.
You were a Tolkien person. Okay.
Yes.
Because, see, I never read Tolkien. I knew nothing at all about the movies and then the book or the story, and someone said, go see it, you'll be blown away, and I was blown away with the first one. Couldn't wait to see The Two Towers and Return of the King. But you go and you see this as now the most successful movie maybe in Academy Award history. And you have the different branches where comedy doesn't get recognized. You know, a comedic performance has a harder time winning an Academy Award as, say, a Charlize Theron performance where she gets all dressed up as a serial killer and de-glams herself and goes forward. Do you see Bill Murray taking any of the kinds of roles that would be, like, edgy to the point where he even would be a bad guy in a movie? Because it seems to be such against type that I would never dream of seeing him in something like that, or that he would even choose to do something like that.
Well, I think the thing that's most remarkable about it, if it had been anybody other than Bill, I wouldn't have watched it. I kept saying to Lib, if I go to sleep, please wake me up when he gets up there. I overblown. It's like during the 70s when everybody did a live album and there were always 7 great cuts on it. And then there were 14 of these self-indulgent Peter Frampton like, that's what I felt like last night. I just kept looking for Alvin Lee yelling, going home, see my baby, going home, and turn it into a 12-minute song. So, you know, but I think that he will now be offered, that Bill will be offered every kind of role imaginable. And I think that that's what Rushmore, and I think that that's what Lost in Translation has done for him. I mean, this is a man who's done, 25, 30 films? He's worked with everybody, worked with De Niro, he's worked with Dustin Hoffman, and he keeps working because I think that he's very workmanlike. He approaches it like you approach your show and like I approach baseball. This is what he does, and he gets better and better, and he stretches himself. So I think that we're going to see him in all kinds of roles that 7 years ago we wouldn't have ever thought we'd see him.
Well, if I didn't ask
it's impossible to win, I think.
If I didn't ask you the question, I know everybody get mad. Are we going to see him in Charleston anytime soon?
Oh, I think we'll see him sooner now. We're planning to do a bobblehead night honoring him. People don't realize all this talk about acting and everything. That's cool. But the fact is that he has a .500 lifetime batting average in minor league baseball. He had 2 at-bats and got 1 base hit. He's in the record book, so it looks like it's time for a bobblehead. I wanted to do a bobblehead Oscar, but I'm sure that they would sue you to the point.
Our guest is Promo Sapien and Charleston Sports Ambassador Mike Vec. We're going to talk a little baseball because there's been lots of news going on in the sports world and some controversy as well. You're welcome to join the conversation. Give us a buzz at 556-1250, 1-800-737-1250, or star 1250 on your wireless phone. Mike Vec is our guest. I'm Richard Todd. More of the Morning Buzz coming up right here on News Talk 1250 WTMA.
There's more of our Morning Buzz broadcast from March of 2004 in just moments. On the History of TMA, I'm John Quincy.
The History of TMA.
News Talk 1250, WTMA.
Once again, let's jump in the mighty TMA time machine and return to March 1st, 2004. For the very first WTMA Morning Buzz with Richard Todd.
WTMA News Time 924. Thanks a lot for tuning in on Comcast 28 and News Talk 1250 WTMA. Give me a buzz and join the conversation that I'm having with Promo Sapien, Charleston Sports Ambassador, owner of the Charleston River Dogs, and maniacal Mike Vec. Is that a good description?
Maniacal.
Yeah, you like that?
I like that.
You can join the conversation. 1-800-737-1250 is toll-free. Star 1250 on your wireless phone or 556-1250. All right, so Mike, when the River Dogs start, what are we looking at here? What's opening day?
April 8th. And, of course, the Coastal Clash with those hated Myrtle Beachers, you know, on April 6th. So we're looking forward to it. I think it'll be a wonderful season. We've had...
What you got in your sleeve, by the way?
We've got some interesting little things happening. We're going to do something with the Bob election, in which we're going to give away candidates' bobbleheads, which I think might set people talking.
You guys also have the South Atlantic League All-Star Game at the Joe this year, right?
Yeah, that's it's something that Derek Scherer and the folks there win almost by default. People just love to come to Charleston, and so every third year you can figure that we get a nod. It's also been, you know, because Derek and the folks there have been so good. I mean, we've had an increase every year in attendance. Since the Joe opened, which now, you know, is 7 or 8 years, and that defies the usual, which is you have 3 wonderful years and then it starts to taper off. So this is a market that's not only just growing but getting more and more educated about baseball and seems to like some of the silliness that we do, which is really a lovely thing.
And regardless of the standings, because in the past the River Dogs haven't been as, say, competitive, but last year they just barely miss getting in the playoffs, which would be huge. The fact that people will come out there for a good time with the family and they expect some shenanigans that you and the gang put on out there. I think we've got is this Beer Man Ken?
Oh, Mike.
Hey.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Hey, thanks.
Let's have a good year this year, and I want all my fans to come out and see me at the River Dogs this year.
Well, listen, we're going to have a night early on before we open just for you to have your fans so they can come out in two loads of them.
I hear you, baby. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait till opening day.
Great, so are we.
Ken, thanks for the buzz, man. We appreciate it. Of course, Beer Man Ken can't hold a stick to the mystery beer girl that roams through the Joe on any given day. So.
That's changed forever, the face of vending in this country. I mean, you know, she became so popular we had to do commercials centered around.
Now, are you going to still be, you still tinkering with the Detroit Tigers?
No, I got fired right before the holidays in keeping with my record. 18 months, Richard. You know, I made it 18 months. I made it 7 months with the Devil Rays, 11 months with the Marlins, 18 months the over-under guys killed themselves. But I just like to wander in, get a couple of years, and then wander out. It's still too corporate. I just can't seem to perfect the corporate structure. I'm not good at it, and I guess as I get older, I'm coming to realize that Major League Baseball was meant to be just the way it is at the River Dogs. I'm just not quite the right person or good enough to take that epistle back to the majors.
You sure they didn't just have to cut your salary to sign Pudge Rodriguez? Is that what it is? You know, they had to cut some of the fat off the top so they could bring in Rodriguez at catcher there.
There was something about that. There was a conversation we had that was like that.
Well, I just, you know, and I'm sitting there looking back saying, why, if you're one of the greatest catchers in the history of Major League Baseball, do you leave the World Series champs that you helped put in the World Series to go to Detroit? Was it purely a money thing?
I think it was. I think you can trace it back to Scott Boras and Dave Dombrowski have as good a relationship as a general manager, a big league general manager, can have with Scott Boras. Mm-hmm. I happen to like Scott Boras. It doesn't mean I want to do a deal with him every day. It's exhausting. You fight it in the newspaper. But he and Dombrowski have a grudging respect. I think that David knew they needed an impact player. He's not oblivious to the fact that when you lose 119 games, you got to do something. Ilitch had suddenly made a commitment to Detroit that he was going to sign somebody. And David had tinkered enough so that he improved the ball club at positions enough. So Pudge suddenly fit in. I think other clubs looked at it and said, 34, soft body, who knows where this is going to go.
Right.
He's got a history of getting hurt. I think there are enough escape clauses for him. But I think it's a great deal, and obviously because of my – continued ties. I love Dave Dombrowski. The season ticket base is up 10 or 15%
sure.
over last year.
I was going to say that. I mean, it's got to help the Tigers from that standpoint. But how many games is he worth? You know, is he worth 10, 20 more games? Are they finally not lose 100 games this season? And how many games are you worth?
I
wasn't worth two for two seasons. So I figure based on that formula, he's probably going to get he'll get 8 or 10. He'll get 8 or 10 himself, and I think he's improved the club another 10. So, you know, I think right there you beat that not lose 100 games and you start to crawl back to respectability. Dombrowski, he won in Montreal. He built the Marlins, much ballyhooed the first time. The second time he got all the credit. If left alone to his devices, he's not a patient man. He's very good at moving. He listens to his scouts. But he'll improve this club.
We've got Charleston Sports Ambassador and owner of the River Dogs, Mike Vec, in the studio as our guest. Want you to give us a buzz and join the conversation. Baseball is at a critical moment right now. We're going to ask Mike Vec about what they can do with the steroid scandal and the haves and the have-nots. And is that a legitimate argument? You can join the conversation. Give us a buzz at 556-1250, star 1250 on your wireless phone, or 1-800-737-1250. I'm Richard Todd. It is 9:30 on News Talk 1250 WTMA.
You're listening to the legendary WTMA.
News Talk 1250, WTMA, Charleston.
WTMA News Time is 9:31. Good morning. I'm Fred Story, live in the TMA First News Center. Legislators have filed more than 170 bills to change the state's tax laws to reduce some taxes and increase others. Governor Mark Safford has made several tax cut proposals. He offered one last week that would reduce income taxes. He also proposed giving parents tax breaks when they send their children to private schools. Greenville Police Chief Willie Johnson says captains and lieutenants will only receive full overtime pay when supervising officers at events at the Bylow Center starting next month. Johnson says senior staff will get full overtime pay if supervising at events. He says they will get less if they are performing jobs a patrolman could do.
The fate of one of South Carolina's military installations could hinge on the Air Force's own downsizing program, as much as the Pentagon's reassessment plans. The McIntyre Air National Guard Station near Columbia could get merged with Sumter Air Force Base in the adjoining county. The 2,400-acre facility could be on the list for Air Force downsizing. And some members of South Carolina's congressional delegation say they are upset about those reports. U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham has called the idea short-sighted, and others in the military doubt the value of merging a National Guard unit with an active duty wing. The Air Force is looking at combining or closing bases around the country. And the Pentagon, in a separate program, is looking at base closure and realignment in all branches of service.
Well, volunteers used bowling yesterday to raise money for organizations that help women in crisis. The Charleston Lanes in West Ashley was the scene as afternoon bowlers came out for charity. The Coast Guard says a damaged ship entered Charleston's port yesterday afternoon after workers plugged a pesticide leak. Coast Guard workers stopped leaks from containers holding more than 4,000 gallons of malathion, commonly used to prevent fleas and kill mosquitoes. An area of land in Charleston that was once a landfill will soon become apartments, condominiums, shops, restaurants, hotels, and public waterfront. Joe Griffith Incorporated bought the 116-acre site for $3.5 million last year. The site is just north of the new Cooper River Bridge. Now let's take a look at your WTMA Weather Center forecast, calling for a partly cloudy day today with a high 75. For tonight, partly cloudy, low 55. And for Tuesday, partly cloudy and a high of 75. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, low 55. And your Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high 73. By now, 64 in the low country. I'm Fred Story in the TMA First News Center. Next news at 10. Depend on.
We'll have more of our listen back to the initial installment of The Morning Buzz straight ahead on the History of TMA.
You're listening to the History of TMA.
1250 WTMA.
It was March 1st, 2004. Listeners of WTMA that morning were treated to their first exposure of the show that would continue to wake them up, inform them, and entertain them for years to come. The Morning Buzz with Richard Todd.
And thank you very much for tuning in on this day one. Under construction on Comcast 28 and News Talk 1250 WTMA. You can give us a buzz, 556-1250, star 1250, or 1-800-737-1250. There's always lots to talk about in the Lowcountry, lots of issues, lots of things going on. Today, I thought, just to get my feet wet, you know, we had the Academy Awards yesterday. We've got, you know, all kinds of things going on in the world of entertainment, you know, government censorship issues, the Passion of the Christ, you know, Janet Jackson's breast, and so on and so forth. So I thought I'd have my own boob in the studio. Mike Vec is joining us here from the Charleston River Dogs. And, you know, figuring somebody...
Jeez, and Art Carney's still dead.
By the way, Mike, I love that sunburst nipple ring you have on, too, by the way.
Thank you.
Very nice.
It bled for a while, but it's okay now.
So we've got Mike Vecchin here, promo sapien, Charleston sports ambassador, someone who has great marketing ideas, but ideas that you know, Mike, you and I have talked over the years about the fact that why is Major League Baseball so uptight? Why won't they even consider some of the things that, I'm not saying like vasectomy night or some of those, but some of the things that...
Did we do that here?
I heard a rumor you did or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. But my favorite headline in the history of the world in Anchorage, Alaska, promotion snipped.
But why is Major League Baseball a little bit uptight to some of the ideas that you and others you know, might want to bring to the Major League level that they do in Minor League Baseball all the time?
Thing you were saying earlier, follow the money. Corporate culture... The corporate culture has invaded. They think because someone steps in and gives them $35 million that they've lost their sense of humor, that they don't want to laugh. So that you find that in the early 90s, when the money was being thrown around, it sounded like the halls of Procter & Gamble, and they just have become too serious. It doesn't mean that some of the stuff that we do in the minor leagues doesn't filter up, because as soon as they see a chance to sell it, it becomes a staple of the major leagues. And our leadership is in Commissioner Selig. It's time for a change. David Stern has picked our pocket, obviously leading the NBA from a moribund league 20 years ago to this behemoth appealing to kids. I think that's another thing. We have a natural niche in terms of price. The average ticket price for a major league game is $19. The average ticket price is over $50 for NFL or the NBA, maybe $47 for the NBA. And hockey is amazingly high, too. So we have a niche with dollars. We should appeal to the families. And they just haven't loosened up yet. We need some real leadership. And we need to realize it's fun. They haven't.
Is it a legitimate argument when they say that the rich get richer and the poor get poor? You know, the Yankees sign A-Rod, and the Red Sox go out and get Curt Schilling, and the Cubs sign Greg Maddux. I mean, the rich get richer and the poor get poor. Do you buy that argument?
I think that the luxury tax has been a failure. But I do think that we're a step away, a step and a half away from a form of revenue sharing. I think the internet money is going to be split up. I think that's a good step. I think when we negotiate the next national TV deal, that it will be weighted in some fashion. And local deals, I believe, should be thrown into the pot too. So the Yankees have always been the Yankees. You know,
right.
They didn't start winning recently. It remains to be seen with A-Rod. The haves and the have-nots is just an easy way to solve what's a very difficult problem. I think you go into revenue sharing, take the NFL as the model, and you don't have a problem.
But doesn't it undermine, and by the way, you're welcome to give us a buzz and join the conversation here at 556-1250, 1-800-737-1250, or star 1250. I often find that when you look back, the Angels were World Series champs, the Marlins were World Series champs, the Twins and the A's and even the Kansas City Royals have given it a go in a smaller market, and the Yankees just go out and spend money wisely, because there's nothing that's going to change bad managers, bad ownership. The Mets spent tons of money. They suck. The Baltimore Orioles have spent tons of money. They stink. So it's not a matter of how much money you spend, but how you spend the money. So everybody gets all upset when they say, oh, the Yankees are getting richer, they get A-Rod. But it was okay when the Red Sox were going to get A-Rod. Nobody said anything about it then, because it's the Red Sox and, they're cursed forever. So, I mean, that's why I don't know if I buy that argument as much anymore. Maybe the luxury taxes is part of that reason, but you say that you think that's been a failure.
Yeah, I think that I think that good pitching still rules all, and I think that the emphasis on development in the long term will be better for the game. But I think it's great for the game. I think this kind of conversation, I love that Steinbrenner and John Henry are going at each other. And that John Henry's screaming on behalf of the Red Sox. You know, all those Yankees are always doing it. We love to hate the Yankees. We've always loved to hate U.S. Steel. That continues. I think that Andy McPhail set the record, obviously, when he won twice with the Twins, in arguably a small market with not very much marquee talent. I think that the new general managers understand the game and work around it. I think that Billy Beane, for example, with the much ballyhooed Moneyball and the emphasis on base percentage, I think all of these things work behind the scenes to level out the playing field. It doesn't mean that there aren't a couple weak sisters that I think should be attended to. I do think that we have to obviously deal with the Montreal situation.
Right.
They can't play. And you could probably pick another market or two if they don't get a stadium. But other than that, I think Parity's never been in better shape than it is right this moment. I'm not certain that A-Rod doesn't get to the clubhouse in a couple of days, you know, when they start actual spring training games, and maybe somebody goes into a pout. Read that to say, hey, they can rip that clubhouse apart. And other clubs like nothing better than to see, you know, 14 or 15 egos collide.
Our guest is Mike Vecchin. And Mike, I was thinking about you last week because I'm trying to think of the last time that there was something in Chicago that was exploding concerning baseball. And I don't think it had happened in about 25 years.
It's amazing. It's become all right to blow stuff up now. Man, oh, man. Man, when I blew up stuff in the late 70s, it got me drummed out of the core. Now they blow up this baseball, Harry Carey's. And my God, it's become the place to be, the thing to do. They blew up that Bartman ball. It won't matter. Cub fans are probably trying to reassemble the ball right now.
See, Mike was ahead of his time there in Chicago. But another one thing that is blowing up in the world of baseball, and this is becoming a very, very serious issue. And once again, we'd love for you to join the conversation if you have questions or comments for Mike Vec. The issue of steroids. Now, it appears that the steroid issue, when they say 4 to 5% of Major League Baseball players tested positive, well, they said 4 to 5% of Catholic priests also were guilty of sexual abuse of young children. People are outraged about that. The integrity of baseball is on the line. Why don't they just step up, do a drug program, no tolerance, zero tolerance? Why isn't that done now? Because people already are suspicious with Barry Bonds hitting 70-something home runs, and these people bulking up, and when you ask them questions in press conference, they, you know, they do the horse thing. I mean, what is going to happen? Because baseball's integrity is on the line. People could look back at this glory days of since 98 to now as like it never happened before. You know, I guess the best comparison, like a Ben Johnson Olympic gold medal, never happened. Well, what's baseball going to do to deal with this issue?
I think what you have to do immediately is get a relationship between the commissioner's office, the governing body, and the players' association.
With Bud Selig.
You have to get Selig in fear, and they have to come out in strong support, and then they have to drug test across the board. And it's very simple. If people will understand right now, if because we know so much more about steroid testing now that we did in 97 or 98, you can avoid any problem with disallowing that period or putting the asterisk on like they wanted to do with mm-hmm. more games for Maris, mm-hmm. for example, simply by saying we know more about it. We've instructed the clubs to issue to arrange for drug testing, and we're going to get rid of this right now, and fans will go, that's great, they're dealing with it. It's dealing with it a little bit at a time, dribbling out the way it is. That's what fans won't tolerate. And so the solution to me is fairly simple. You hold a joint press conference. You say we're having 100% drug testing. We've declared now that these are illegal and you'll be suspended the first time that you use them. There's zero tolerance. And fans will go, hey, okay, so, you know, X used them and he hit 852 home runs that he wasn't entitled to before we knew they stopped it. They're policing themselves. That's what fans want, in my opinion.
But getting Bud Selig and Donald Fair together is like getting the Israelis and Palestinians together. I mean, it just doesn't ever seem that they're going to cooperate to do, even though it is in the best interest of the game, you know, the piecemeal solutions a little bit at a time. I mean, Barry Bonds, their number one marquee guy, is his name's being thrown around in criminal investigations. It seems right now that if baseball doesn't do something that marks a sea change in their behavior towards this, that they really could lose credibility in the eyes of the casual sports fan, much less the hardcore baseball fan.
I think that's why this is a good thing for baseball, because I think it will force that hand. This is not the same thing as they can sit around and debate and whether it takes them, you know, 17 years to put revenue sharing in. They have to move. They have to deal with this. And folks won't stand for this. Folks will stand for higher salaries. They like to argue about it. Everybody, every one of us wants to dream. We all think, oh, we won an Oscar or we won the lottery. But this is something that nobody wants to fool with. And so the fans and the pressure from the fans will force these two guys to sit down and decide who's left bank.
But the players are the ones who don't want drug testing.
Well, of course they don't want it. But the point is that when fans vote with dollars, they'll all want it. because that's the one ultimate power. I subscribe to the theory, obviously, that you do what the fans want, you'll always be fine. But the fact is that the fans will vote on this one, unlike they've ever voted on anything before, if they believe that there is an unfair advantage. Fans are very smart, and that's when they'll stay away, and that will force these guys together.
By the way, do you still have the funhouse mirror in the men's urinal?
Yes, we do. Ever since Leslie Visser stopped them from Real Sports to visit it, that's become a shrine.
Mike Vec, Charleston Sports Ambassador. I know you're ready for the season to get underway. By the way, are the Yankees going to win it all because they signed A-Rod? Just take your ass.
No, they're not.
They're not.
They're not. The Red Sox are it, baby.
No.
They're going to do it.
I'm waiting for him to say the White Sox or something there. But the Detroit Tigers.
Oh, come on, man. I've been having my heart wounded enough times.
Mike, I really appreciate you coming up here and being one of my first guests ever here on the Morning Buzz. And, everybody loves to hear from you and see you around town and see what the River Dogs are up to. I was curious to see what your reaction was to your buddy Bill Murray coming close. Winning some awards, but not the big Oscar.
Hey, he'll get it. That's what's so wonderful about being Quixote, man. You keep swinging at those windmills, you keep expanding. But good luck to you, man. This will be a great show, and I love the buzz, and it's great to see Madeline.
Oh, so, you too, Mike. Come by anytime.
Good luck to you. I like this. I might just come here and kind of hang out.
Mike's doing the same thing. I'm going to have to get. I'll keep looking at Comcast 28. I keep seeing, because the camera's here in the studio and it's broadcast live on Comcast 28. So once again, Mike, I can't say now I have a face for radio and a voice for newsprint. There is no escaping now the merging of TV and radio. Mike Vec, the merging of marketing genius and the Charleston River Dogs. We'll see it all at the Joe this year. Have a great year.
Thanks.
And thanks for coming up here this morning. I really
appreciate
it.
Thanks for having me. I'm just thrilled to be here.
Mike Vec, Charleston Sports Ambassador and the River Dogs. As you said, coming up April the 8th, opening pitch at the Joe. We have more on the way on the Morning Buzz. Coming up, I'm Richard Todd, 9:49 the time, and you're listening to News Talk 1250 WTMA.
We'll have one more segment of our replay of the first Morning Buzz broadcast in just a few moments as the history of TMA continues.
The history of TMA.
Let's get back to our rebroadcast of the maiden voyage of WTMA's Morning Buzz with Richard Todd.
And welcome back, 9:52 the time on Comcast 28 and News Talk 1250 WTMA. My thanks to Mike Vec for coming in this morning and hanging out. Always a blast to talk to about a variety of things. And since he's talking to his buddy Bill Murray, I knew he had something to say about Bill Murray not winning for Lost in Translation. And I knew that Madeline wanted to tell him just how bad the movie was, in her opinion. So, by the way, thanks to everybody. I mean, this is just day one. You know, I'm sitting here looking at the paper. Okay, so Haiti is going to Hades. We have the Oscars. We have cables being put up on the new Cooper River Bridge, which, by the way, I'll never call the Ravenel Bridge. That's another story we'll talk about another day. Dorchester County is weighing a sales tax proposal. That sounds familiar. Pesticide leaking into the Charleston Harbor. There's all kinds of stuff to talk about. We're going to be talking about that and so much more every day. Today is the first day. I want to have a little bit of fun, you know. I want to dive right into some serious stuff. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about. You can always give me a buzz at 1-800-737-1250. That's toll free. Star 1250 on your wireless phone or 556-1250. I don't want to not pay attention to all of the awards that were handed out. Gigli was a winner yesterday. I don't know if you heard about that. Gigli.
What?
Was a big winner, yeah.
Raspberries?
Yeah, the Razzies. I was just seeing you paying attention. Gigli, called skin-crawlingly embarrassing, took home 6 Razzies over the weekend. Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez named Worst Actor and Actress. Sylvester Stallone added another Razzie to his list for Spy Kids 3D. And the worst excuse for a movie goes to The Cat in the Hat. You know, tomorrow is Dr. Seuss's 100th birthday. Dr. Seuss, Ted Geisel, would have been 100 years old tomorrow. There's a big reading to kids thing going on across America tomorrow, including at the Charleston County Library at 10 a.m. that I really appreciate the invitation to be a part of. One movie that was singled out at the Razzies, by the way, a special Governor's Award for Distinguished Underachievement in Choreography from Justin DeKelly. That's right. That's what they need to do to, like, you know, War Prisoners. Just put that movie on a loop and just let it run over and over again. Wow. Meanwhile, we have, by the way, we have lots of special guests and surprises in store for you for this first week of the Morning Buzz. Charleston's First News from 6 until 8 o'clock. Everything you need to know to start your day, and then a place to talk about it right here on News Talk 1250 WTMA. Also, a big thank you to Live 5's Bill Sharp for stopping by this morning. Bill Sharp and Mike Vegg, not a bad way to start off the week. Lots more on the way. You know, we were talking earlier about the level of government intrusion that we feel comfortable with. How much government do we want when it comes to determining movies, television, radio? Mike Vec and I were just sitting here talking about the power of the purse. If we didn't watch it, would they still put it on? If we didn't lap up Jerry Springer and Fear Factor, would they still put it on? No, of course not. They're doing it what makes money. But here's the double standard that exists when it comes to government control, when it comes to TV and movies and radio. This happened last year. Do you remember last year, Maxim Magazine, which is the male Cosmo, by the way, Maxim Magazine had their Maxim's Hottest 100 featuring Christina Aguilera, Shania Twain, Carmen Electra, Kelly Clarkson, yada, 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 all these hot women that was going to be on NBC. Atlanta, Georgia, decided not to run the show. The local affiliate, WXIA, decided not to air the show, The Maxim Hottest 100. They said the show was inappropriate and, quote, not consistent with NBC's emphasis on quality programming, end quote. So instead of running Maxim's Hottest 100, they showed an Atlanta Falcons special and a special on the University of Georgia. Prior to the substitute programming that they ran on WXIA in Atlanta, they showed an episode of Fear Factor where couples pass live roaches mouth to mouth, and it was followed by Law & Order Special Victims Unit, an episode focusing on the rape and murder of a judge's daughter. That's okay. The Maxim Hottest 100 isn't. Double standard. Hypocrisy. One thing that you'll find as you listen to this show on a regular basis, and we wake up the Carolina coast every weekday morning, one thing you'll find is hypocrisy abounds everywhere in society, and we're going to point a finger at them. I'm going to point a finger right at this camera on Comcast 28 and right at the speakers of News Talk 1250 WTMA and say, hypocrisy, double standard. It's happening every day. How about a little bit of consistency? When I see hypocrisy, I'm going to call people on it. When I see people practicing a double standard, we're going to call people on it. I mean, that's just the way it is. And once again, we invite you to join the conversation because how few people are plugged into America nowadays. People marching lockstep in whatever they're told. Everybody's got an opinion. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. You can share yours here every morning on the Morning Buzz between 8 and 10 o'clock when we open up the phone lines. So make sure you become a part of the Morning Buzz. I just think it's interesting that all of a sudden there's this race towards integrity and cleaning up indecency when it's the things that Americans watch and listen to on a regular basis. We are the reason why they're marketing that stuff. We keep lapping it up every day. I hope you lap this up every day. I'm not that it's going to be indecent unless you want me to like go topless on Comcast 28 or something. I mean, I don't know about that. Madeline's shaking her head, no, please don't, because she actually has to see me every day.
That's right. No, please no.
Thanks to, thank you very much. No more cookies for you. Thanks to Live 5's Bill Sharp. Thanks to Mike Vec. Thanks for you to tune in every weekday morning. This is just day one. I'm getting comfortable. You're getting comfortable. Let's all be comfortable. It's the Morning Buzz. Neil Bortz is next. I'm Richard Todd. Thanks for being a part of this and make it a part of your morning routine right here on Comcast 28 and News Talk 1250 WTMA. Enjoy your Monday.
This is John Quincy, and I hope you've enjoyed this hour of the history of TMA. Would you like to listen to additional 1250 broadcasts from the past? Surf to WTMAmemories.com. There you'll find rare station recordings, pictures, DJ histories, and more. That's WTMAmemories.com. And keep it here on the station that continues to make history, as well as talk about it while it's being made. 1250 WTMA.